ask him now, in 1 second, he can wipe the pain away. In 1 second, he can take the shame away. In 1 second, he can dismiss all the things that have come against you. We're talking about petitioning the king. We have a king on the throne, and now we have to petition the king. So Jesus gives them another parable. Now, this one is in the book of Luke, chapter 11. The book of Luke, chapter 11. Now, notice how this begins. Now, it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Notice the caveat here. As John taught his disciples. Will you teach us to pray the same way that John taught his disciples? You have to understand this. Notice, let me break this one down for you. When he had ceased, what does that mean to you? That means they're listening to him pray. They're watching him pray. And what they noticed is that Jesus prayed differently than anybody that ever heard pray. I promise you, you probably pray like somebody you heard pray. I don't know who that is, but you can probably trace your spiritual roots, your spiritual genealogy back to somebody who probably prayed that you heard pray, and they taught you, or at least you learned the rhythm of prayer through the way they prayed. And when they heard Jesus praying, they knew that Jesus prayed differently than anybody ever prayed. And they're saying, Lord, I want to pray like that. I want to pray the way you prayed. Now, you have to understand something. I don't know if this was a supplicating prayer. I don't know if this was a different kind of prayer that they'd never heard, but something was unique and something was different about the way they heard Jesus pray. So they asked him this question, but listen to how they ask it. After he finished praying, they said, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So how did John teach his disciples? Well, you have to look at John. The reason John lived in the wilderness and ate locusts and wild honey is because he was of the Essene order. Now, if you study that and you know what the Essene order is, this was a group of monks that pledged themselves to certain disciplines, mainly the disciplines of prayer. But you have to understand, in the Essene order, you can't just fold your hands and pray. You can't just stand up and give a prayer request. That's not how it works there. In the Essene order, you had to take ritual baths and cleanse yourself before you could pray. So notice this, you would have to take 3 baths. That's more than some people take in a whole week, but I won't go there. That's another sermon for another day. They had to take 3 baths, and then they would present themselves before the Lord in prayer. So 3 baths and a prayer, and then 3 more baths and a prayer. And for the people watching, this was quite impressive. It's kind of like last week when I talked about the Jewish men praying on the plain and how they would take out the phylacteries. And think about this. One of the most impressive things is when you go to the Wailing Wall and you see somebody in a broad-rim black hat, felt hat, and he's rocking, and he's got his tallit around him, and he's got his phylacteries wrapped around his arms and his head, and here he is rocking. That's quite impressive. Now, I have no idea what he's saying. I have no idea if it's working, but it sure is a fun way to watch somebody pray. And so they're noticing that John's disciples pray like the Essenes pray. We pray very ritualistic prayers because the Essenes were steeped in discipline and rituals. So Jesus says to them, okay, you want to know how John would teach his disciples to pray? Then I'll show you. And then he said to them, when you pray, this is verse 2, the same chapter. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven. Now, Luke's version is a little different from the one we quoted earlier in Matthew, because he's paraphrasing this. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, give us by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For as we also forgive everyone who's indebted to us. I'm so used to saying it the other way, it's almost hard to read this way. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So notice what he's saying is if you want to know how John would teach you to pray, John would teach you to pray a systematic prayer. Now, before you discount this as a ritual, understand there's real power in this systematic prayer. As a matter of fact, in this kind of praying, since we're talking about prayer tonight, there are seven very powerful principles of prayer. And some of you, I use this formula for many, many years of my life to really develop my prayer life. So if you're on the front end of developing a prayer life, I highly recommend this. The first thing he says is, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So he starts out his prayer in a time of worship. Now, I got to tell you, that's my favorite part of the day. When I go to the Lord in the morning, before I ask for anything, I just worship. I turn on my music, and I just start telling him how good he is. I start thanking him for all the things he's done in my life. And sometimes I never get past that. Sometimes I don't get any further than just that. I just start loving on the Lord, and that can go for an hour or longer sometimes, because I can't even get beyond who he is and how good he's been to me and how wonderful he is, and focusing on him. But the prayer starts like this: "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The next thing you do after you address God properly and declare his names. So if you want to do that, you can go down Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rophe, Jehovah Nissi. You can go down all the names of God if you're trying to build your prayer life up. The second thing is, "Your kingdom come." Now, what is that? That's a declaration of the word of God. That's declaring the parables. That's declaring the word of God. So that means you get a group of scriptures and you start reading those out loud. Whatever scripture means something to you, you start reading. If you like Jeremiah 20, 29, 11 from the NIV, you can say, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future." So that's when you start praying the scriptures or declaring the scriptures in that second part. So he's really given them a great formula for prayer. Start with worship, then preach the word or declare the word. "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is when you start praying the perfect will of God for your life. "God, I don't know which steps to take, but I want you to order my steps with your word. I want you to show me what I need to do." And the only way to really truly pray in the perfect will of God is to pray with groanings that cannot be uttered because of the Holy Spirit intercedes, or pray in a prayer language. When you do that, you're praying the perfect will of God for your life. But it's okay to pray, "God, I want you to order my steps. I want you to teach me this. I want you to give me this." The Bible says that we should earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. It's okay in this part of your prayer to say, "Lord, I want you to use me in the gift of discernment. I want you to use me, Lord, in the gift, in the word of knowledge. I want you to use me in the gift of prophecy." It's okay to do that there. Then the next thing he says is, "Give us." That's the only part some people know how to pray. "Give us this day our daily bread." Some people start and end their prayer with "give us." Everything is, "Lord, give me this and give me this, and you know I need this, and help me in Jesus' name, amen." And they're through praying, and they haven't worshiped, and they haven't declared the word, and they haven't prayed in God's will for their life and asked for direction of their life. They go straight to the "give me" part, and that is part of it, but that's only one small part of the prayer. "Give us this day our daily bread." And then he gives us the next three principles. "Forgive us our sins," and I like the word "trespasses" there, as we read in Matthew. "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive everyone who is," in this passage says, "indebted to us," or "everyone who has trespassed against us." Now, I want to tell you how powerful this is. One time I was listening to a man, Raymond Culpepper is his name. I was listening to him preach at a prayer conference. He was preaching on the Lord's Prayer. And when he got to this line, the Holy Spirit dropped something in my spirit and said, "Brian, you need to do this." I said, "Well, I need to," he said, "you need to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And I said, "Lord, as far as I know, I don't have any buried unforgiveness or forgiveness in my heart. As far as I know, Lord, I don't have anything against anybody." The Lord said, "You need to do this." Okay, I'll do it. I started praying every day. I'd go before the Lord in my prayer time in my basement. And I would say, in the house we lived in there, I would go down to my prayer study and I would pray, and the Lord would say, I would say, "God, if there's anything I need to forgive, any person I need to forgive, I want you to show me." Well, the Lord started showing me people that I had buried in my heart and never forgave them, people that had hurt me over the years. One was my grandmother, you know, one of my grandmothers. And the Lord said, "You need to forgive your grandmother." And I thought, "Well, Lord, have mercy." Now, I won't tell you the whole story because she's in heaven now, and that's not even worth telling. But it was just a story a long time ago. And so I wrote her a letter, and I wrote her a check because I felt like that was appropriate for forgiveness. So I wrote her a letter, and I wrote her a check, and I noticed she cashed the check, so I know she got the letter. I never got a call, but the Lord says, "Okay, your heart is clear. Let's move on. Let's move on." So he said, "You did your part. you don't always get an Oprah Winfrey reunion, you know. You just have to move on when you're forgiving people. You just have to do what God asks you to do. And the Lord said, I want you to forgive this person and forgive this person. Let me tell you, over 2 years, I would go sometimes 2 or 3 months and get nothing, but I never stopped doing it. And over 2 years, the Lord led me down a road where I had to forgive almost 15 people of things I had buried in my heart. And the Lord said, see, I cannot take you to the next level with that much baggage on you. Until you can get rid of that baggage, you cannot go to the level that I'm trying to take you to. Until you can get rid of that, until you can get rid of that unforgiveness and those that unsettledness. Do you have a person's name that you can't even hear their name without getting upset? I don't mean that person, anybody named that. I mean, if somebody named Nancy, let's just pick on Nancy. Sorry, Nancy, but if we're picking on Nancy tonight, but Nancy did you wrong, and you don't care who, what Nancy you meet, every Nancy just upsets you because they got the name Nancy. You can tell there are indicators that there are things in our life that are showing us that we need to forgive. So he says in this passage, he says, lead us not into temptation, or forgive us our trespasses. Here's the next one. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Here's the thing you need to understand. Everybody in the world is tempted. And your needs and wants, and that's a whole different sermon, your unfulfilled needs are the things that draw you into temptation. If you're not getting enough attention, that becomes your temptation. If you're not getting touched enough and hugged enough and enough physical affirmation, that becomes your temptation. If whatever it is in your life becomes your temptation, there's always a unfulfilled need or a void somewhere in your past that is causing you to be tempted. So part of this is, Lord, lead me not into my temptation. Don't let me get in a place that there's not an exit door, because you said in every temptation there's a way of escape. Let me find the exit door. I can't avoid temptation the rest of my life, but I can look for the exit door every time and take it. So this is part of the prayer every day. And then he said, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Now, Luke doesn't actually include that part, but Matthew included that part. And this is where you declare faith over everything that you just prayed. Now, notice what's just happened. Lord, we saw you praying in a way we've never seen anybody pray before. Will you teach us how to pray the way John taught his disciples to pray? Oh, yeah. Well, if you want a ritual prayer, this is how you do it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. You do that every day, you'll be good. However, turn to your neighbor and say, however. That's not how I was praying. Jesus said, you will ask me to show you how John would teach his disciples to pray. And that is a good prayer, and there's nothing wrong with that prayer. But Jesus said, but if you want to know how I was praying, notice what he says. Then he turned to them, and he said to them, which of you, and he gave them this parable, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in the bed. I cannot give it to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give it to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give it to him as many as he needs. Now, I want to ask you, what is Jesus talking about? How in the world does this have anything to do with prayer? Because Jesus is saying, you want to pray like John, pray that prayer. It's a good prayer. But you want to pray like me, then you have to understand this parable. He said, the first thing I'm going to tell you is I'm going to send a friend to you at midnight. Well, what kind of friend? I don't know about you, but I don't want my friend showing up at midnight. What kind of friend shows up at midnight and says, bake me 3 loaves of bread? How many of you think that's a good friend? He's going to show up at friend. And notice, it's not even for him. He wants you to bake him 3 loaves because he has a friend he wants to give it to. I have a friend who's coming. I don't have any bread, so I'm coming to you. I mean, get this story. I got a friend who's coming over. We don't have any bread. You need to get up, wake up your kids, bake me 3 loaves of bread because you're my friend, and I'm going to take those 3 loaves of bread to that friend and give it to him. What in the world is going on in this story? And Jesus says, that's going to teach me to pray the way he prayed? I mean, that's how the Lord prayed? First of all, he says, I'm going to send a friend to you at midnight. And I will tell you that friend's name is the Holy Spirit. And the friend, when God gets ready to take you to a new level, get ready to be awakened in the middle of the night for prayer. There is a different level of prayer that's about to ramp up in your life. It's not because you're in trouble. It's because you're about to come into a new season and about to come into a new authority. He said the friend is the Holy Spirit. But notice when the friend arrives. The friend arrives at midnight. What is midnight? It's the end of one day and it's the beginning of another day. It's the end of one season and it's the beginning of a new season. And the Lord says you can pray the ritual prayer and it's going to bless you because that is a daily prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. That is a daily prayer. But there's another prayer that is a seasonal prayer. And I'm getting ready to bring you into a place you've never been. I'm getting ready to change your yesterday and give you a brand new tomorrow. But the only way you can learn to do this is if you'll let me wake you up. I'm going to burden you. I'm going to trouble you. And you don't want to get out of bed. But believe me, if you will just get out of bed, you can walk into a season you've never walked into before. And the Holy Spirit will come to your bedside and say, I know you want to sleep and I know you're tired, but tonight we've got to go somewhere. I need to sharpen your sword because tomorrow you're going to slay a giant and tomorrow you're going to come into a new territory and tomorrow you're going to do valiant things for the Lord. Notice when the season changes. It was at midnight, the darkest hour of the night, but the Bible tells me in the book of Exodus that at midnight, somebody say midnight. It was at midnight that the children of Israel crossed over the Red Sea in the middle of the night. Somebody say midnight. It was at midnight that Gideon's 300 men attacked the enemy's camp with pitchers and lamps and overthrew an enemy and ambushed them, and it happened at midnight. Somebody say midnight. It was at midnight that Ruth laid down at the foot of Boaz's bed, and now the field she used to glean in, she's now the mistress of that field. She's no longer a gleaner. She is now the owner of that field because midnight changed everything. Somebody say midnight. It was at midnight David said that the Lord visited me. I heard the Lord. He heard my cry in the midst of his tabernacle, and God came down and rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind, and darkness was under his pavilion. There was fire and hell and vapor of smoke, and he delivered me from my peril. And David said it was at midnight that he got delivered from depression. Somebody say midnight. And it is at midnight that the Lord said, listen for the midnight cry, because the trumpet will sound and the midnight crier will come to the street saying, behold, your bridegroom cometh, because midnight changes everything. Midnight means old things are passed away. Old things have become new. I'm not going back to what I used to be. I'm going to where God wants me to be. I'll not be who I used to be. You can't call me. You can't visit me. You can't come to me because I'm not that person anymore. That person died at an altar. I am now a new creature in Christ. All things are new. Old things are passed away. Midnight changed everything. And at midnight, I'll send you a friend, the Holy Spirit. Because God, when God starts waking you up to pray at night, something new is about to happen in your life. That's not battle time, that's victory time.
Well, I hope you are enjoying this teaching, and the rest of it will play in just a moment, but I just wanted to take a moment, make you aware of a very special offer that we're offering right now on two of our most popular items. This one is called Keys to the Kingdom. This is a three DVD set that is a teaching on the parables of Jesus. Now, many people don't understand that the parables of Jesus, as you read them in the Bible, just sound like a story. But every one of them is a prophetic truth. Who knew that the parable of the Good Samaritan was about the coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church? Every single parable unfolds just like that. That's what this teaching is about. And this is our top 10 most requested sermons. And we put this in a little USB drive, so you can stick it in your computer, or a lot of cars nowadays that don't have CD players have USB drives. So stick this right in your car and you can listen to our top 10 sermons as you drive down the road. So if you want this offer, go to briancutshall.com. This is offer Hope in the Word, or HW001. So HW001, and you can get this these two items at a special discount. Now let's continue in the Word of God.
Why would the Lord send me a friend at midnight? Well, it could be because the book of Psalms says that he's getting ready for a new day. Maybe there's a new blessing. Maybe there's a new anointing. Maybe there's a new assignment. Maybe there's a new a level of faith. It might be because Psalm 22 said, "Oh my God, I cry in the daytime and you do not hear me. But in the night seasons, I am not silent, and you are holy enthroned in the praises of Israel." Maybe God's looking for a little midnight praise, because anybody can praise him in the daytime. Anybody can praise him when the bank account is full, and anybody can praise him when everything is going well, and anybody can praise him when everything is doing exactly the way you want it to. Anybody can praise him when everybody loves you. Anybody can praise him when everybody's liking your post on Facebook. But give me a praiser who says that my Redeemer liveth, and I shall write it upon a stone that though the skin worms devour me, yet I will see him for myself. Give me a Job kind of praise, a midnight praise. Give me a belly of the whale praise, the kind of praise that says, even though I'm lost and I'm here and I don't want to be here, I'll praise you anyway. Give me a jailhouse praise that'll make it rock and make the chains fall off. Give me the kind of praise that can only come from a night season. I want to see the hand of every person in this room that says, I've had to praise him when I didn't feel like it. I had to lift up my weary hand. I had to praise him with my dried out voice. I had to praise him with my broke bank account. I had to praise him with my tired body. I had to praise him with a hopeless heart. But I praised him anyway in the night seasons. I did not withhold my praise from the Lord. I praised him anyway. Maybe it's because David writes, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel, and my heart, it instructs me in the night seasons, and I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand and I shall not be moved. Maybe the Lord says, when I wake you up, I'm going to give you the answer you've been looking for. You're not going to sleep through this one. Some change is coming. Some glory is coming. Some anointing is coming. A new level is coming. Maybe it was because at midnight, Paul and Silas were praising and singing hymns to God, and notice this, and the prisoners were listening to them. Maybe your victory's not even about you. Maybe God needs to set you free so somebody else can get free. Maybe your victory is not even your victory. If God doesn't bring you out, there's 1,000 people that won't get out because they need to hear a midnight song. They need to hear a jailhouse song. They need to hear a jailhouse praise. They need to hear praise coming from broken places. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. Maybe your victory is not even about you. Somebody else needs an open door. Somebody else needs their chains to fall off. Maybe the people watching you are going to say, I don't know how he praises at midnight like that. My wife and I were called upon to preach the funeral and sing at a funeral of a very dear friend of ours. He was a gospel preacher. He was a great pastor and a church planter, and he died as a young man. I mean, it was just one of those horrible things that He had his family sitting there, his children sitting there. And I'll never forget when his widow walked into that funeral, and I was to preach at that funeral. And we were sitting there, there in South Georgia, and she walked into that funeral. And all of a sudden, I saw this woman who had just lost her husband. She had just lost the money maker of their family, the income. She did not know she was going to have to go back to school and finish her education, because she had been carrying for him and caring for the home for so many years. She had lost everything. But you know what I saw that woman do at that funeral? I saw her raise her hands up toward heaven. She stood up on her feet. She gave out a message in tongues, and she interpreted a message of victory right there. Her husband was in the coffin just a few feet in front of her, and she declared the goodness of God in the funeral right there. I've never seen such victory. No one would blame her if she left. No one would blame her if she stepped down. No one would blame her if she fell apart. But she decided to give him a midnight praise in spite of it all. I know I could quit, but I'm going on anyway. I know no one would blame me if I didn't praise, but I've just decided to praise him anyway because of the people that are looking. Can you give God praise? Hallelujah. I got to hurry up with this. I'm about done. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend who go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. See, here he said, the Holy Spirit will show up at your house at midnight, roll you out of bed and say, bake me 3 loaves. Why 3 loaves? Why? Somebody bring me your Bible here just a moment. I've got an electronic Bible up here, but I need to hold a leather one in my hand for a moment. There we go. Thank you. Thank you, Brother William. He said, I want you to bake me 3 loaves. Now, I want you to see these 3 loaves quickly. First of all, the loaves are the bread of life, the Word of God. There is a different level, and you, if this has never happened to you, this may not hit you the way it hit me, but because this happened to me, it wrecked me when God showed me this. I mean, wrecked me. There are times in my life when I was so desperate for a breakthrough that I could not pray my way through it. And I could not praise my, I mean, I was praising. I've always been an intense worshiper. I was worshiping. I was praising. I was fasting. And I'll never forget so many times in my life that the Lord would roll me out of bed and said, go bake me 3 loaves. Why 3? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's the divine signature of God. Why bread? Because the Lord said, tonight, you're not going to pray with your words. You're going to pray with your Bible. And only the people that's had to do this even know what I mean. But there are times in your life that words fail you, and the Lord says, get out my book. And I can't tell you how many times at midnight I have gotten out of my bed and gone up in my wife would feel on my side of the bed and know I was gone. And I had gone up to my prayer room, and the Lord says, I want to talk to you. And he would take me into the Word of God and begin to open up scriptures to me and begin to reveal the Word to me. And all of a sudden, the answer I needed, I was invigorated, I was empowered, because the Lord said, tonight, we're not going to beg. Tonight, we're going to sharpen your sword. Tonight, there's a giant's head that you're going to cut off tomorrow, but tonight, we're gonna sharpen the sword. I don't know if you've ever had to pray with an open Bible before, but that's a whole way of praying. The Lord says, tonight, you're not getting out your list. You're not turning on your songs. You're not doing all the normal things you do. You're not going to go through the ritual. Tonight, you're going to search my word until rhema comes forth. You're going to search my word, and you go into the ovens of heaven, and you begin to cook from the ovens of heaven, because the Lord says, I'm putting you on a bread journey, and that bread journey is going to lead you to the throne of God. That bread journey, those 3 loaves, 3 loaves. Why 3? Divine completion. situation. God's getting ready to end something. Why three loaves at midnight? Because midnight means yesterday is over. Three is the number. Now notice that seven is completion on the earth. Three is completion in heaven. And I can give you scripture after scripture after scripture where God did something three times and it was signed, sealed, delivered, never brought up again, never to be talked about again. And the Lord said, tonight we're killing something. Tonight we're burying something. Tonight you're going to dance on the grave of an enemy and you're going to come forth. I've seen your tears. I've seen your struggle. I've seen your heartache. But tonight we're going to get into the sword. And tonight the divine completion is coming to your life. Tonight something is going down. Tonight a giant falls. Tonight there's going to be a fruit-bearing sword and a direction-changing sword and a life-resurrecting sword. Tonight you're going to pray in the word until everything changes. I don't know if I've told this story before. If not, it's worth telling again because it goes perfectly with my closing here in this message. Many years ago when Faith and I went to St. Louis, it was only 52 people in our church. It's a very small church. And when we got to our church, the people were beautiful, but that was it. 52 older people, beautiful people, and everything else was just broken down. The building was broken down. Everything was broken down. We slept on a bed that was propped up on cinder blocks, and there was plastic on the windows for curtains, and I mean, we could just go on and on and on. Everybody thinks, you know, wow, I'd like to go do what you... A guy told me one time at a conference, he said, you know, you're not that big of a deal. I said, well, I don't claim to be a big deal. He said, I can do what you do. I said, maybe so, but can you do what I did to get to do what I do? There's a difference in doing what I do and doing what I did. Because that was the battle that I had to fight to get to walk where I walk and to do what I do. When Faith and I got to St. Louis, we didn't know why this happened at the time. We found out later, but there was Sunday morning, I went over to the church, and there was this big green, it was written in green paint on a big poster board that had been taped to the side of our church, and it was from the occult. And they were trying to terrify me and scare me and trying to get us to leave. And they kept leaving these notes. And this was another, I mean, you know, I've just told you about a 3-year battle. Thank the Lord this one didn't last that long. It lasted a few months, but it didn't last that long. This is our first one that we fought there. And the occult decided to come against our church, and not just us, but about 5 other little churches in our community, and no one knew why. And they were attacking me, and they were attacking me, and so they would leave these notices at night, in the middle of the night, and it was terrifying. Now, we had 2 little babies then, or 2 little girls. We had a little girl who was 6 months old, who our daughter Lindsay, and our daughter Brittany was 2.5 years old, and this was a terrifying thing to go through for a young family, a young couple, and all my family was calling, saying, man, you need to move back to Tennessee. You need to move back to Georgia. You need to get out of there. You didn't go to Missouri. You went to misery. That's what they were calling it. You went to misery. You need to get out of there, man. The devil's trying to kill you, and they can't even play football there. Why did you go there in the first place? It's like, and so here I was, and the only reason I stayed, this is the truth. There was only one reason I stayed. The Lord gave me a vision when I went there. And the Lord said, if you'll pour oil into these herding sheep, they will multiply, and you will never be able to number the sheep that come from this valley. You will if you'll walk through this valley, you will never be able to number the sheep that come through this valley. I knew it was from the Lord. And the only reason I went there is because the overseer who called me, I was in the Church of God, the Church of God overseer in Missouri who called me to go there said to me, he said, listen, we got a broken down little church here, but I believe if the right man could come in and just pour oil over these old sheep, they could multiply and God could do something with this church. And I got a confirmation I knew it's from the Lord. My wife will tell you this. The night before we went there, I had a dream, and I thought that it was just because I was nervous about going and talking to this bishop about moving to St. Louis, because we'd never even been to St. Louis. And so that night before, I had a dream that I walked through this church, and when we drove up to this church, I told my wife, I said, I don't even have to go in. I can describe this church to you. Everything about the church on the inside, I saw it in a dream last night. So I actually tested this overseer. I said, let me ask you something. When we go in this door, are we going to go down a long hallway? He said, yeah. I said, are we going to go in the back of the church? Is there paneling on the walls of this church, like brown paneling on the walls of this church? He said, yeah. I said, are there PV speakers? I even knew that. Are there PV speakers shaped like this on the walls hanging on the back of the church? Is there an organ speaker up in the top? Yeah, have you been here before? I said, no, but I think I'm about to come here right now. And so God had confirmed over and over. So I had this in my pocket. I had this in my shepherd's bag. I didn't know how to wind it up yet, but I had it all right there. My five stones were with me. And God said, I'm going to get you through this. And we were absolutely terrified going through this. And it got to a place that I was afraid to go to bed at night, so Faith and the girls would sleep, and I would stay up all night long and pray and pack. And, you know, that's just what I did. I put a gun on my side, and I walked through my house, and it first of all started like this. You just stick your head in that door. You wait, I'll pop that hat off so fast. I mean, that's how it started out. It's just me being big and bad. I'm going to protect my family. I didn't come here to die. I come here to live and build a church, you know, me and my little 52 people, you know. And I was just big and bad, and that's how it started. And then I started praying, because this went on for months. And then I started praying. And the next thing I knew, I got bored doing everything I was doing, and I started getting out my Bible. And before I had known it, I had memorized all of these scriptures that I've never memorized before, because I was staying up all night long when everybody else was sleeping. I was staying up all night long doing something I would have never taken the time to do. And I was just going all through the Bible, and I had hundreds, I had pages and pages of scriptures that I committed to memory and committed to heart. And before I knew it, I was walking through there. 6 months later, I was walking through my house, and I was declaring the word of God. I was quoting these scriptures. I had a sword in my hand, and I took my Bible, and I was swinging my Bible in midair. And finally, after about 6 months, I thought, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of fear. I'm tired of living in fear. I'm tired of my wife not sleeping in the bed with my wife. I'm tired of not going. I'm tired of my kids not sleeping in their rooms. I'm sick and tired of this. And so I put a note on the church door on a Saturday night the way they did it, and I said, next week, I want to meet you out on the lawn of the church, on the parking lot of the church. And I was just a young kid. I said, no cops. That's what I put on that note. And somebody took the note. So I figured they had gotten my note. And so the next week, I wasn't going to pack, but me and my little scriptures, we were going to go out on that back church lot, and I was going to have a showdown. I was either going to live or die, but I wasn't going to struggle anymore. I was not going to live where I was living. Something had to change. I needed a midnight. I needed a friend at midnight to get me in the book and sharpen my sword. I needed something to change. And so I committed all these scriptures to memory. And my wife will tell you, we fasted and we prayed. And she's peeking out the window to see if I'm still alive or dead. And I'm walking through this. I start walking about 11 o'clock at night. And it's just me and my little scriptures. I'm out there and I'm quoting my scriptures. And I'm thinking, well, might as well do a Jericho march. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning. So I start doing a Jericho march around the church, and I'm walking around the church, and I'm speaking in tongues, and I'm quoting my little scriptures, and I'm just speaking in tongues, and I'm doing anything I know to. I get some oil and pour the oil. I do everything I know to do, but nobody shows up. I want to tell you, if a hitchhiker would have walked in and stumbled on that property that night, I would have beat the living daylights out of him. I was never more ready for a fight in my life than I was that night. But nobody showed up. Thank God, because I'd have been in the flesh. But I thank God. But all night long, I just prayed. I quoted my scriptures and I prayed. And I quoted my scriptures and I prayed. And I prayed until something happened. I saw the sun coming up. And when I did, the Holy Spirit just spoke one word to me. That's all he said. He said, son, you have made it through the night. And when I heard him say that, I started dancing, because it didn't mean the sun was coming up. It meant my battle was over. It meant my sword was sharp. It meant my giant went down. It meant my fear was gone. It meant my victory was sure. And I danced around that church. And that morning I got up and preached in that church, and I laid hands on everybody in the church that morning. And we had a glorious time in the Lord, because the Lord had given me my battle. Years later, there was a lady came to us many, many years later. She said, I know you don't know who I am, but I know who you are. And I said, how do you know me? She said, because I was a part of the Church of Satan that met here in Webster Groves, and we were assigned to run you out of town many years ago, and you would not leave. I said, why did you guys try to run me out of town? She said, because the Church of Satan wanted to move their headquarters from San Francisco to St. Louis to be centralized, but they cannot operate within 5 miles of anybody who prays in the Holy Ghost. And because you were praying in the Spirit, they could not operate. And we had to run out the Pentecostal ministers, and you would not leave. And because you would not leave, they're still in San Francisco, and that church is still there going on for the glory of God, because the Lord said, I'll send you a friend at midnight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I want you to stand all over the house. The Lord said, I'm going to send you a friend at midnight. And that friend will teach you how to pray in a way you've never prayed. It won't be a ritual prayer. It'll be a prayer of a warrior. It'll be a prayer with a sword. Come on in, come on to the instruments if you want to do that, guys. I want to end with this story real quick. Let's go to this last one. Joshua has just arrived. It's been 38 years in the wilderness. He'd been there for a long time. It was supposed to be a 2-year journey, and then God made him march 38 more years. 40 years going in circles. Do you know how long it would have taken you to get from Egypt to Canaan? I've actually gone the route before myself. You know how long it takes? 18 days. That's it. Walking. You can walk from Egypt to Canaan in 18 days, not 40 years. 40 years. They're dying. 40 years, everybody in this generation that would not believe has to die off. Joshua and Caleb, the only two that are left of the spies. This generation is dying off because of lack of belief. They're wore out, and they're tired, and they don't have any more strength left in them. And they finally arrive to Gilgal and prepare for war. And they cross over the Jordan, and there is Jericho. The city, the fortified city that has to be conquered. And all of a sudden, they're met by a man. And this man is a big man. And when he looks at him, he realizes he's an angel of the Lord. But notice his sword is not in his sheath. His sword is drawn. If his sword was been in his sheath, he would have been waiting. But his sword is drawn. He's been fighting. And he said, I'm glad you showed up. It's been a long time, but I'm glad you showed up. And Joshua said, are you for me? Are you against me? He said, oh man, I'm for you. He said, and I've been waiting on you for 40 years to get here. I've been waiting on you. He said, from the day you left, the Lord assigned me to Jericho. And he says, how are we going to conquer Jericho? It's so much bigger than we are. He said, man, you don't have to conquer Jericho. Take off your shoes. You'll figure it out. He took off his shoes and he stood on enemy ground and said, this is not enemy ground. This is holy ground. The angel had already conquered Jericho long ago. All he needed is God's people to show up. And can I tell you, there's battles in your life that have already been won. Heaven is just waiting on you to show up. Heaven is waiting on you to pick up a sword. Heaven is waiting on you to stop fighting your own battles and put your trust in God. I know it's been long. I know it's been hard, but you can petition a king and one wave of the king's hand and your problem goes away in an instant. Just one wave of the king's hand. The Lord says, I'm going to send you a friend because you need to change the day. You need to change the season. Yesterday is over. Tomorrow is brand new when you change the day. You're going to bake me 3 loaves and I'm going to change something when you get in the word. And that's going to make all the difference in this long struggle and journey that you've been in. So the Lord says, all you got to do is show up. So I want to ask you the same question that they asked Joshua. After all you've been through, after everything you've suffered, after every problem, after every letdown, Joshua said, do we need to fight? He says, no, man, you don't have to fight. You don't need to draw a sword. You don't need to carry a shield. You won't even fling one arrow in the arrow. How are we going to win this battle? He said, after all you've been through, can you still show up with a shout? If you can show up with a shout, I'll finish the rest of it. Because you know what that friend is? Can I tell you this? A friend of mine has come on his journey. I have nothing to set before him. Who is the friend that has come on a journey? The angel assigned to your new season. He said, I can't assign the angel to your new season until your sword is ready. I can't assign. Do you get this parable? He said, I know you just want. He said, the Holy Spirit is going to roll you out of bed and bring you into a new season because the friend of the Holy Spirit, an angel, has come on an assignment from the Lord to bring you into a new day. But you cannot go into the new day until you bake those three loaves, until you get in the Word, until you get the sword in your hand. You cannot come into the new season. God has an angel assigned to your new season. I want to ask everyone in this room that says, Pastor B, or Dr. B, whatever you want to call me. When I'm preaching, I don't know what to call myself either. Dr. B, I'm ready for a new season. I'm one of those people, I've prayed a long time for something that hasn't come, but I'm ready for a new season. If that's you, by faith, I want you to get out of your seat and come and stand right here. Everybody, I'm ready for a new season. I'm ready for a new season. I'm ready for a new season. Something is going to change. God has spoken to me. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know how long it's going to take. But the one thing I know is I'm ready for a new season. I'll not stay where I used to be. I'll not be who I used to be. I'm ready for a new season. Just come. Everybody, just keep coming. Just keep coming.
The Bible says that some send and some go. Well, thank you for sending me to the world. This program is made available to you and brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw Ministry. I want to thank all of our monthly partners who help us take the gospel and our books and products, DVDs, CDs, YouTube channels, everything that we do around the world. If you would like to partner with us in ministry, please go to briancutshaw.com and sign up today. We would love to partner with you in ministry.